This is Joseph S. Covert. Today is Friday, May the 13th, 1994. I'm interviewing for the first time Dr. Eugene P. Odom. This interview of Dr. Odom is taking place in his office at the Institute of Ecology on the campus of the University of Georgia. Dr. Odom, would you please give your approximate age or date of birth?
Born in 1913, so it makes me 80.
Okay.
I'll be 81 in September this year.
Okay. Could you please give me your mother's maiden name?
Her name was Anna Louise Kranz, K-R-A-N-Z.
K-R-A-N-Z?
Yeah, K-R-A-N-Z, German.
Okay. What was your father's name?
Howard Washington Odom. Howard Washington, or W. Odom, D-U-M, spelled with a U.
Okay. Briefly list or describe, or just list the places that you have lived and when.
The first 5 years, I guess, was here in Athens, Georgia. My father was at that time a professor at the University of Georgia. He then moved to Emory, where he was the first dean of Emory, when it was moved from the town of Oxford to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then for most of my earlier life was at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, because my father then became professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And then I went away to Illinois, University of Illinois, for my doctoral degree. Got my undergraduate degree at Chapel Hill. And then I had one job in New York State. I was a resident biologist at a preserve near Albany, New York. Then I came here in 1940, and I've been here since. It makes about 53 years here at Athens. So I spent most of my life here at Athens, but I spent my early life mostly in North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Religion?
Methodist. Support the church, particularly the work that they do with the youth and so on, but I'm not a regular church attendant. For the reason is that most sermons I do not find very interesting. In other words, I guess my religion is a little more ecological than it is biblical. However, I make many, and I'm familiar with the Bible and make a lot of analogies in terms of stewardship and dominionship. So you might say that I'm interested in religious theory. But not necessarily as practiced by the conventional religions.
Okay. Right. All right. List any business, political, or social memberships that you've had in the past or present.
My memberships, I guess, are pretty much in professional societies.
Okay. So
I don't believe I have any official member. I'm not a member of Rotary Clubs or things like that, although I often speak with them.
Uh-huh.
And I support civic clubs, Salvation Army, things like that. So say I support charity as much as we can, but I don't have any close relations to any business that I can think of right off hand.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Your present occupation?
I'm an emeritus professor at the University of Georgia. I've been retired since 84. That's 10 years ago.
Okay. Former occupations?
Well, all my occupations have been in academia.
Okay.
So I stuck coming here as an instructor and going through the ranks. Retired professor. So as far as I've been in academia all my life.
Okay. occupations. All right. Describe any special skills that you have.
I guess my best skill probably is writing textbooks, since I'm best known for that.
Okay.
And as far as avocations, I've originally started getting interested in the environment through birds, so I'm still bird watching is an avocation. And I'm a tennis player until recently from a bad knee. I'm a fairly good tennis player, and I garden.
Okay.
And things of that sort. Those are the main avocations at this point.
Okay. List some major accomplishments of your life.
Yeah, well, I think the first one would be the textbooks, because that's, I say, best known for that. So, Fundamentals of Ecology, first edition, published in 1953, was the first book on general ecology in this country, in other words. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, there were books in animal ecology, famous Elton's Animal Ecology, there was Clement's, plant ecology, mm-hmm. and there were insect ecology, but there were no general ecology. And the publishers told me there was no courses, there wasn't a single course that they could find in ecology in the whole United States. So they questioned whether a book, text on general ecology would sell. And it didn't in the first year or two. So that is probably, my best known accomplishment. Then consider, of course, the development of ecosystem ecology, development of the holistic, more holistic ecology as being a very important contribution. I've been alone in that, but some people call me the father of ecology. That's because of the books that took the broad, holistic view, and the fact that many of my other writings that way. So writing research papers and textbooks and teaching, those have been my best skills. And I have some pretty good skill in writing for and speaking lecture tours and so mm-hmm. on to general audiences and to people. So say I can speak pretty well to anybody from Aquinas Club to National Academy of Sciences and so on.
It's a wide range.
Yeah, so then of course the three international prizes that I've won and election to the National Academy, those are accomplishments
okay.
that I recognize something of a pioneering effort here.
Definitely. All right. List some national events that you have participated in.
Well, I've been for a while there. I've been on a number of advisory committees in the federal government for this participation. I've been on the EPA committees. I've been on. I was a while on the advisory boards of things like Congressional Office of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Been the National Academy. National Research Council, organizations of that sort. In other words, I've been on a lot of advisory committees and also state government and things of that sort. In other words, I'm fairly good at interacting at that level, the political level. And I have in my other office, when I had a bigger place, I have a picture, autographed picture of every governor of Georgia since I've been here. And so I never campaigned for any governor, but once elected, then I want to be in a position to work with that
mm-hmm.
governor. So I think we've had a lot of influence through working with the governors and legislatures and things of that sort. We do that all the time, and with some success. Big success like the Marsh Protection Bill that was passed in 1970 in Georgia. We were one of the first ones to protect the marshes. And the Growth Management Bill was passed recently. We've had some So we've had a, and particularly, and of course, the formation of the Institute of Ecology would be one of my major achievements.
Yeah.
Everybody in every university is now trying to do the same thing, so we can say we did this 30 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Head of the pack. All right. Yeah. Do you have any maybe events such as working with the United States Legislature, Congress, and the way that you worked with it?
Mostly behind the scenes. As usually as members of various committees. I had some influence on the IBP, the International Biological Program.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the early committees of that, the international committees. And, that's when we decided to use a watershed approach. We had some emphasis on. I was trying to get the international movement of studying the environment, which is called the International Biological Program, to try to be sure that that was on a broad scale, sort of an ecosystem level scale. Those are some. And then here in Georgia, the establishment of the Savannah, the Sapelo Marine Institute, the establishment of Savannah River Ecology Lab were some of my accomplishments.
Okay.
I played a major role in both of those as a, a way, as a, we call them our satellite programs. That satellite program is what's made us be able to do a lot of things we couldn't do if we stayed entirely within the university, because they bring in huge sums of money and lots of new staff people.
Mm-hmm.
People like Dick Wiggett wouldn't be here if we didn't have the satellite program. So that those are, I think, important achievements.
Okay, could you just give me the year that each one of those, the Institute for Ecology, Sapelo and Savannah River?
Savannah River was established in 1951, the very year they started the place. We had a small grant at that time, $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
We hired 3 graduate students on that and started working. And later we convinced the Atomic Energy Commission, as the Department of Energy was known then, to establish a permanent laboratory there. And so that has evolved into the permanent laboratory, which we don't own. The government owns it, but we contract to operate it. We've had a contract now for 40 years. I think it's one of the longest continuous contracts with the government that anybody's had. So, and then Sapelo was established as a marine institute. We had been doing some work there previous in 1954. And officially, R.J. Reynolds set up the Sapelo Foundation to support the marine. We called it the Marine Biological Laboratory. Now it's called the Marine Institute.
Yeah, okay.
And then the Institute of Ecology was essentially formed in the 50s, but we didn't formalize that in that name and get the Board of Regents to approve it until about, I think it was about 1960. And the Savannah River Project was one of the reasons we formed the Institute, because we needed the interdepartmental or non-departmental thing to operate it.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Now it operates itself. It's a separate operation, but for a long time we operated that thing out of the Institute. That was our main operation for a while. The Marine Institute, we almost had all that, the Marine Institute and the Ecology all together. We got everybody in this one building. This building.
Mm-hmm.
But some past administrators wouldn't let us combine those two. They wanted to keep them separate. So today we have a School of Marine Studies and the Institute of Ecology, a school of that. And so we have 2 small schools.
Mm-hmm.
Someday maybe we'll be able to put those together. But right now, the politics and all. is to keep them separate, but we work, of course, close together. We don't recognize, as far as staff and activity, we don't recognize any difference. So it doesn't really matter. It's just that you have different administrative setups, maybe determined by campus politics more than by any kind of logic.
Mm-hmm.